Congratulations, Sean Hannity, 2017 inductee to the National Radio Hall of Fame. Listen and be part of history. Today, 3 to 6, KVI.
So the Seattle Times had a very provocative editorial. Yesterday's editions. Gun laws make America safer. Again, this was not a column by any particular individual. It was a policy editorial by the Seattle Times editorial board. They say gun laws work. They will never stop every homicide, but they clearly work. Data shows that states with stronger firearm safety laws have lower firearm homicide rates, as well as lower non-fatal firearm injury rates. Universal background checks and a national ban on military-style assault weapons and high-capacity magazines must be the next steps to reduce the severity and frequency of the carnage. So when I read this, I went, you know, they say that gun laws work and the data proves it. Why don't we talk to someone who knows more about the issue of guns, crime, and data than anybody else? That would be John Lott. John Lott, of course, best-selling author of the books The War on Guns and also More Guns, Less Crime. He's taught at Yale, Stanford, UCLA, University of Chicago, got his PhD in economics from UCLA way back in the 80s. John Lott, nice to have you here on the John Carlson Show this morning. How are you?
Doing okay. Good to talk to you again, John.
So you heard what I said about the Seattle Times editorial. What do you think so far?
Well, I mean, with regard to universal background checks, these are background checks on the private transfers of guns. You know, Democrats and gun control advocates were calling for these things before we even knew what happened this last week in Texas. They called for it after each of the mass public shootings. But yet there's not one mass public shooting over at least the last couple decades where it would have had any impact. You know, because people hadn't obtained their guns in ways that would have been affected by these universal background checks.
Okay. Well, let's start with this. Data shows that states with stronger firearm safety laws have lower firearm homicide rates as well as lower non-fatal firearm injury rates. Is that true?
No, I don't think so. You know, it's basically it's these public health studies where they lump together all sorts of different laws. It's arbitrary what laws they put together. They weight them in different ways. Like they'll say, well, this law is worth six times some other law. And it seems pretty clear that, you know, you can play with how you combine things to get just about any result. It's not the way most academics go and do this type of research. What you would do is you take each law separately, you know, account for them all at the same time, to see what impact the different laws had on crime rates. And what you would look at is what happens before and after a law goes into effect.
Right.
Does it go down relative to what the crime rate was beforehand? How does it change relative to other states that aren't changing their laws over that period of time? That's the way I've always done it. And,
okay. And
I account for 13 different types of gun control laws in my book, More Guns, Less Crime. But you know, there's so many problems. So, for example, not only do they lump together all the different laws, but what they do is they're only looking across places at one point in time.
Okay, I tell you what. Let me give you a direct comparison here. Seattle Times, in their editorial, said to see why gun laws matter, compare Washington State to Texas, the location of America's most recent mass shooting. Texas had 18 state firearm laws and a firearm homicide rate of 4.04 deaths per 100,000 in 2015. This is according to the state firearm law database that Boston University collects. Washington had not 18, but 43 firearm laws and a firearm homicide rate of not 4, but 2.2 0.32 deaths per 100,000. So that's their argument. Tell me why their argument doesn't add up.
Right. Well, I don't know counting laws. You don't know how many different types of regulations are inside each one of the laws that are there. But the big problem is making cross-sectional comparisons. So let me give you a very common comparison that I think maybe people understand. Just often people point to the UK and say, look, the UK has very strict gun control, very, very low gun ownership rate, and they have a low homicide rate. So it must be the very strict gun control laws that they have that are causing low homicide rate. The problem is, before they had their gun control laws, they had an even lower homicide rate. When they banned handguns, for example, in January 1997, over the next 8 years, the homicide rate in the United Kingdom went up by 50%. Hmm. It only started going back down after that, after they had a huge 14% increase in the number of police officers that they have in the country. The point is that they have a low homicide rate despite the gun control laws that they have, not because...
No, that's actually a very good point that you're making, John Lott, which is instead of comparing the United Kingdom to the United States, to compare how safe the United Kingdom was before they enacted strict gun control versus after. And after they enacted gun control, Great Britain got less safe, not more safe.
Right. And, you know, you want to also see maybe how the U.S. is changing over time, too, particularly when you're looking at individual states to see whether, you know, maybe it went up in the U.K., but it went up by even more in the United States or something during that period of time after the U.K. changed its laws. But you don't make the simple comparison at one point in time across places. The U.K. has always had a low homicide rate compared to the United States. They had a low homicide rate, an even lower homicide rate compared to the United States before the UK had any gun control laws.
Right. Let me go now to NBC. Joe Biden on the Today Show yesterday was questioned by an audience member.
So with the tragedy that just happened in Texas, my question is, how do you justify the Democratic view on gun control when the shooter was stopped by a man who was legally licensed to carry a gun?
Well, first of all, the kind of gun being carried, he shouldn't be carrying. Assault weapons are... I wrote the last serious gun control law that was written. It was law for 10 years, and it outlawed assault weapons, and it outlawed weapons with magazines that had a whole lot of bullets, and so you can kill a whole lot of people a lot more quickly, number one. Number two, it's just rational to say certain people shouldn't have guns. Now, the fact that some people with guns are legally able to acquire a gun and they turn out to be crazy after the fact, that's life. There's nothing you can do about that. But we can save a lot of lives, and we've stopped tens of thousands of people from getting guns who shouldn't have guns.
Okay, why is Joe Biden incorrect there, John Lott?
Well, as you say, we tried doing an assault weapons ban. They tried banning large-capacity magazines for 10 years. And even studies paid for by the Clinton administration weren't able to find the law having any impact on any type of crime rate, mass public shootings or any type of violent crime. You know, the notion of trying to ban magazines, I don't know if people understand this, but magazines are a trivially easy thing to make. They're a box with a spring in it. And, you know, with some very simple machine tools, people are able to go and make a magazine. And, of course, nowadays you have things like 3D printers that can make one for you. It doesn't have to be metal. It can be plastic magazine. And, you know, it's just it'd be nice if it was just so easy to go and ban guns. You look at Europe, for example. Europe has many countries have very strict gun control laws. France, for example, bans all semi-automatic guns. And yet, in 1 year, 2015, France had more casualties from mass public shootings, 532, than the United States had during the entire Obama administration, 527. you know, if you use the FBI definition, traditional definition, mass public shootings. And, you know, and so a country one-fifth the size of the United States had more casualties from mass public shootings than the United States had over 8 years.
After they banned semi-automatics?
Right. They banned semi-automatics and they had a high rate of anything.
John, here's my take. And again, unfortunately, our phone connection is not as strong as I wish it was, but let's power through here. It seems to me that over the last 20 years, 25 years, even though we've had a 50% increase in gun ownership, we've had a vast reduction in gun violence and, in fact, in crime, violent crime, period. So you can't make the connection that more guns equal more crime. Instead, you can make a much stronger connection that more guns equal less crime, which, of course, is the title of one of your previous bestsellers, More Guns, Less Crime. However, it seems to me that mass shootings, even if they're not more numerous than they used to be, are becoming more deadly, more victims. You know, with Virginia Tech with 34 and Orlando nightclub shooting 49 and then the Las Vegas shooter and then Sutherland, Texas here. What can we do about that, John Lott?
Well, for the vast majority of these, the way to solve it is to try to get somebody with the gun there as quickly as possible. You know, whether you're talking about the Orlando shooting, which took place in what's typically a gun-free zone, over 98% of the mass public shootings since 1950 have occurred in places where, you know, general law-abiding citizens are forbidden from having guns with them. You know, so, you know, I wish somebody there in the church had a concealed handgun with them. It's not something that one would like to normally do, but given the fact that there's no way, I mean, here's the question. What's the alternative way of stopping these types of attacks? Police generally are extremely important in stopping violent crime. My research, anybody who's read my books knows that I think police are the single most important factor for reducing violent crime.
Right.
But the problem is, and the police understand it themselves, they have an almost impossible job stopping these mass public shootings. If you put a police officer in uniform someplace, they're going to be the first target. And it's impossible for them to guard from all possible angles day after day, week after week, month after month there, and be on their toes. And even if they are, it's simply impossible for them to see everything that may be coming at them. You know, and the advantage of a concealed handgun permit is that you take away a lot of the strategic advantages that the killers have. They may shoot the police officer, but that reveals their position and they have to worry about somebody behind them or to the side. I think it makes the job of the police much safer. You know, the issue that you have there is when we ban guns from particular areas, who is most likely to obey those types of rules? And rather than making it safer for the victims, you unintentionally make it easier for these killers to go and commit their crimes.
Right.
When I can give you in my book, The War on Guns, I go through a number of cases where these killers have left diaries or public statements explaining why they picked the particular target that they did. And these guys may be crazy in some sense, but they're not stupid. They want to try to kill as many people as possible. If they know if they go to a place where other people aren't going to be able to go and protect themselves, they're going to be able to kill a lot of people before the police are able to arrive there on the scene.
Real quickly, what about a crackdown on stolen guns? What about restrictions on the bump stock devices that mimic automatic weapons?
Look, I have no problem with banning bump stock devices. I just don't think, as with a lot of these laws, it's going to accomplish everything we'd like it to do,
mm-hmm.
whether it's background checks or bump stocks.
Okay.
I'll just give you one example with regard to the background checks. we have background checks on drugs, right? I mean, you got to go to a pharmacy, you got to have prescription, you're going to show an ID in order to go and get it. And the notion that somehow having those types of background checks on getting drugs has stopped people from getting illegal drugs is just not a serious consideration, I don't think.
As you have pointed out previously, and we only got about 30 seconds, as you have pointed out previously, stolen weapons are the weapons used in the overwhelming majority of crimes, not guns acquired lawfully. What about a crackdown on stolen weapons, on people who steal
weapons? I think it's wrong just to focus on stolen weapons. Look, I just gave a testimony last year to the Mexican Senate, and they have one gun store in the country. No gun can legally be owned in the country that has more than 22 caliber bullet. The drug gangs in Mexico aren't using 22 caliber guns.
Sure.
They're using machine guns and other things. It's not like they can even buy machine guns from the United States. And yet they're all over the place. They have a homicide rate in any given year that's 4 to 5 times higher than what we have here in the United States. They are able to bring in guns into the country the same way they bring in illegal drugs before they transport them to the United States. And the same would be true in the United States. Few people seem to understand what a large role drug gangs play in the United States in terms of violence. You know, the Obama administration claimed that up to 80% of violent crime in the United States was gang-related, and the vast majority of that was drug gang-related. And just as they can go and get drugs, they'll get the weapons that they sell. And who do you think sells guns?
Other criminals.
Illegally. It's the drug gangs.
All right. John Lott, again, I've been talking about your book for a long time, and the book before that, which is More Guns, Less Crime. The book is called The War on Guns. I think it's the single best volume that punctures myths and conventional wisdom about guns in the mainstream media. Check it out. John Lott's The War on Guns. John, thanks for joining me. Really appreciate it.